Ladies and gentlemen, I am Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, and this is the Strategic Christian Leadership Podcast, episode number 53. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help Christian leaders particularly understand how planning and strategizing is important to carrying out the Great Commission. Someone said that God gave us a mind for a reason. He wants us to use it. But at the same time, depend upon His Holy Spirit and pray to Him for power. Our Bible passage for this episode is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, which says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." Our quote, our strategic leadership quote for this episode is from Roy T. Bennett. He said, "Success is not how high you have climbed, but how you make a positive difference in the world." In this Strategic Leadership Podcast, we are going through the fine books titled Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Aubrey Mauffers, Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less by Dave Browning, and Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by John Dixon. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of these books from Amazon.com or where fine books are sold. By the way, some of the classes that I am teaching are seminary level, so you're getting a great education. I took some of these courses in my MDiv and THM programs, and I'm passing it on to you free of charge. And by the way, I am a big believer in textbook learning. People do not write textbooks for their health. I believe one of the tragedies in university life is that people buy expensive textbooks which are rich by themselves with knowledge and understanding and clarity, but they never read them. Oftentimes the professor wants you to focus on what he has to say, and he may assign a few paragraphs, a few pages here or there. I believe that every college ought to, and every university and every seminary ought to require every student They must read the textbooks and write down the notes from the professor. The textbooks are foundational. There are things that you will never understand if you don't read the textbooks, my dear friend. There are websites that you will never visit if you don't read the textbooks, because they don't highlight the websites in textbooks. They're smart. You know why? Because they want you to read the book. And so they hide important websites, powerful websites that can change your life, in regular text. So anyway, that's what the focus is at Gospel Light Society University. Dealing with the actual textbooks. Pardon me, another tragedy is really the way the university system is set up in our society. Students don't have time to read the textbooks. It's just a fast pace, real quick, and very few people can read and grasp the textbooks in that short amount of time. Some people can, some people can't. And some people choose not to. I was visiting a seminary, one of my favorite seminary libraries that I like to go to. I have some serious work I want to do. And every time I go, the Chinese students, they're in the library. And they are reading those textbooks and they're working hard. They set up camp in the library, seriously. But they have their tables set and you better not touch the tables, man. And they leave their computers and everything and they'll go take lunch and everything, but they live in the library. And some of us Americans, with all this education, we are running around all over the place doing God knows what, but we're not in the library. Anyway, our topic today, my beloved, is part 14 of Reality. Keep it real from deliberate simplicity. How the church does more by doing less, by Dave Browning. He continues as follows. Christianity is not a religion. It's a lifestyle. It's the difference between attending a car show and being in the automobile garage with the hood up. Christ came to set us free to work on our stuff. The protocol, tradition, formalities, and observances of religious systems get in the way of the work we need to do. Reggie McNeil wrote, "The church culture has been confused with biblical Christianity, both inside the church and out. In reality, the church culture in North America is a vestige of the original movement, an institutional expression of religion, that is, in part a civil religion and in part a club where religious people can hang out with other people whose politics, worldview, and lifestyle match theirs. As he hung on the cross, Jesus probably never thought the impact of his sacrifice would be reduced to an invitation for people to join and support such an institution." George Bonner wrote, "Jesus did not die on the cross to fill church auditoriums, to enable magnificent church campuses to be funded, or to motivate people to implement innovative programs. He died because he loves you and me. He wants an everlasting relationship with us, and he expects that connection with us to be so all-consuming that we become wholly transformed Jesus clones, if you will indulge the expression. In response to religiosity, the first thing we need is a dynamic, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. The last thing we need is any substitute. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be real. And help us to have an authentic relationship with you. And Lord, help us to have it always to be about you and not about us, other than us being transformed into what you want us to be. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is your day. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.